We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I'm here with John Clark, and we're going to talk security, Microsoft Windows, and the mess that is the computing world today.
Which we can lay at the feet of Bill Gates. By golly, I wish he was here to defend himself. You know, word could be getting around about this show. You never can tell when Bill Gates...
Should we issue a formal challenge?
We can offer him as much as, $128 to appear on the show. Do you think he'd do it? I mean, just what we can scratch up here between us right now.
I don't think he'd do it, but I think it's a good gambit. Mr. Gates, if you're listening, $128 for 30 minutes.
And that is an offer that won't last forever because we may spend the money shortly.
That's true.
That's right. So, actually, Andy, this could be something that you could parlay into a tremendous promotional campaign for your show.
You know, picking on Bill Gates?
An open letter to Bill Gates to appear to actively defend the fact that the top 10 security exploits on the Internet are all Windows-related.
Well, and that's a general problem. What do you think of this argument, though, that, yes, Microsoft attracts the security problems, but it's because Microsoft has 90% of the market. Any self-respecting hacker is going to build code that's going to screw up networks that have Microsoft computers. Why bother with Apple when it's only 10%?
Well, we're not just talking about Apple here. We're talking about Linux. We're talking about several varieties of Linux.
That's true.
But it's not necessarily that it is a fact that Microsoft dominates the operating system world. There's no doubt about that. But we're talking about an operating system that can be hacked by teenagers following scripts.
By children of as young as five.
Exactly. Well, bright five-year-olds. Yeah, it's not that... because Microsoft dominates the world, then all hackers focus all of their attention on it. Part of it is because it's so easy. You know, it's not really hard to find people. As a matter of fact, it's the favorite pastime of many people. It's like finding the next Windows flaw.
Right. It's like shooting code in a barrel.
That's right.
Well, so you're talking about the top 10 security flaws, but they keep coming out with security updates, don't they?
Well, sure they do, a la the Security Pack 2, which wreaked havoc on the world's corporate computer systems when it was released. It turned out that of course, the Service Pack 2 does a variety of different things, but one of its major purposes was to fix a variety of security flaws. And so it started... changing the way the various ports work. There are various ports assigned to different kinds of network services.
Right.
Okay. So part of the solution, which is why I thought perhaps you had loaded Service Pack 2 on one of your computers, part of the solution was to simply, as a default, shut down certain kinds of ports, including ones that have to do with transactions, and especially secure transactions, and the more secure, the more likely it was to be shut down because the code required is complex and all that kind of thing. And it changed the way that others work. Now, any average consumer who tries to load this service pack is going to find out that it's going to cause some – you're going to have to tweak it. It's going to cause some problems.
Yes. And by the way, I don't want to tell you – I don't want to lead you to believe I didn't install it. I did install it on one machine, and then I uninstalled it within a couple of weeks. I needed to see what it did because you had told me about the alert that went out saying you should install this. There's some vicious viruses making the rounds, and Service Pack 2 is the only thing that helps it, right?
Well, it was, and that's the only way you could get these fixes. But it turns out that in its own inimitable way, Microsoft had just done a miserable job of preparing it where some of the programmers don't talk to the other programmers. They try to cobble it all together, which is exactly what Windows is, this giant, absolutely giant conglomeration of millions of lines of code written by different people who don't talk to each other and at different times in history and all that kind of thing. And it's just so cobbled together because, as I said before, they try to be everything to everyone. They want to do everything that everybody else does, and as a result, of course, they can't pull it off.
But it's also true, isn't it, that when we talk about trying to do everything, if Microsoft had a decision, if you can imagine, to, you know, a continuum where on one end you're striving to help the consumer keep control of their computer and keep it secure. And on the other end, you're trying to help marketers and put hooks in software so that people can tap in and we can maximize the power of these machines and these networks, whatever that means. Wouldn't you have to say that where Microsoft has sinned against the consumer is they're very willing to cooperate with business and provide all kinds of open hooks that then allow for unscrupulous people to come in, hackers and others to come in and break through these holes, get through these holes in the security.
That's the way Microsoft does business, is by creating this vast web of partnerships, and if that fails, by coercion. And so you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, I don't see how anybody could go so far as to say that Microsoft ever has the consumer's best interest at heart, because regardless of what they say, the fact is the biggest headache you can cause for yourself is to buy a PC with Windows on it and then hook it up to the internet in your home, because it's going to lead to trouble, frustration, heartache, all those kinds of things. I think the thing I didn't mention about the Service Pack 2 before, I was talking about consumers, but the big problems arose in the corporate world when so many of the applications are network-based. You know, in a major corporation, you're not going to have an individual software program loaded on thousands of computers.
Right.
The software will be on a server, and it's a server application. That means the computers, the desktop has got to access the server for its software, to run applications. And because of the various port problems, network access problems associated with the Service Pack 2, it turned out that it shut major corporations down. They couldn't do anything at all. And hurriedly, they, try to get rid of it and then spend months. Microsoft actually extended their deadline by 45 days and then another 90 days. And then I don't know if it's still going on right now that they're supporting older versions of Windows without the Service Pack, because they couldn't insist on payment even, for those kinds of, I don't think they were paying for it. But the fact is it didn't work. They're still trying to figure out.
Well, and like I say, I've got 4 PCs and I don't have Service Pack 2 on any of them now. And one of the things I did was I called my local university and asked at their helpline. I said, what are you guys doing? Are you installing Service Pack 2? And it says, no. I said, well, I heard it's crucial. Well, we got other things we can do to keep the network pretty secure. And he said, it's just not stable enough. It's a huge mistake to go in and put these in until it's stable. And it's true. I might be able to keep my machines going. But I just decided, it has a firewall. It has all these things. Now, you can turn them off, but I never know for sure if they're off. I mean, you do know they're off, but you don't know what else Microsoft might be doing behind the scenes. And it's a resource hog, like every Microsoft program.
And the thing is you can protect your computer, but it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of software that you wouldn't normally use. I mean, supposedly the Service Pack 2 is going to take care of you. Absent that, you've got to make sure that you're completely protected from spam and from spyware.
Well, and we talk about this on this show every once in a while, and you can go to my website, folks, at andyfinn.us, and see a helpful list of what you have to do with a Windows machine. Now, don't snicker, John, but we do cover that you have to have first of all, you want a firewall, primarily if you have an always-on connection, like a DSL or a cable modem. Less important with dial-up, but it's not a bad idea. But you got to have it if you're in a high-speed internet connection, also known as an always-on connection. Because always-on means somebody can get to you even if you're not on your computer. And then you got to have antivirus protection for viruses that get through maybe through email attachments or whatever. Then you want to have spam protection, because as you spam protection? I mean spyware. Sorry, I meant spyware protection, the one you mentioned, would be the next most important thing. For some people, the most important thing, but probably the third most important thing on the list, because as you download programs and do things take things that are free, people are attaching other programs, and you're not even aware of it, and they install themselves, they run themselves, they watch what you're doing. They're known as either spyware or adware or malware. Mm-hmm. Mal from the Latin word mal?
Bad.
To meaning bad.
Mal. I think he was one of the assistants to the Beatles.
Bad Mal. Bad.
Clint Eastwood's production company is called Malpasso, by the way. That's absolutely irrelevant to anything we're talking about. But I like Clint Eastwood. But, you know.
He always plays a bad dude.
He is a bad dude. But the thing about it, the spyware is, you know, your firewall will protect the security of your documents, and of course that's desirable. However, you know, people could be hacking into your computer, accessing, downloading whatever they want to, getting whatever they want to, personal information out of it. You may not be aware of it at all, but if enough spyware, if you visit routinely a lot of different websites and you're not too picky about where you go, then you're going to accumulate a whole lot of spyware. And it's actually possible to be running dozens, scores, perhaps hundreds of spyware programs in the background on your computer all the time. And that will affect you. You will notice it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your computer will start getting slower and slower and slower. And finally, you'll start it up, and it'll take minutes for it to boot, minutes for the software to start up, and then at some point, you'll begin getting the message that you're going to have to open up in
safe mode,
and then ultimately it will quit. And really, that describes the basic life of a Windows machine anyway, unless you are diligent about all the things you have to do to keep it running.
Well, and one of the things we do on this show is let people know what those are. So I have helped people get rid of their spyware, and I've seen machines that had over 200 packages on them. And so it's not pretty, but the packages that I recommend and most experts recommend are, first of all, Adware 6.0. Adaware 6.0, great little package. You can go out to adaware.com and get that for free. Again, all this information is on my website. But then I use the other one they say goes best with it is Spybot, Search and Destroy 1.7, I think they're at.
A lot of my students have recommended
that. Those are the two, although I find that most everything I need gets done with the first one. Adware. And then the third one that's good to have is called Hijack This. And you got to know what you're doing with that one.
What'd you say to me?
And so what do they recommend you do is post the log file from that out on one of the websites where the experts help you, and they'll sort through it. I have learned which programs I can delete out of there and which ones you can't, but it does give you an opportunity to delete a running process that you don't want to be deleting, so you have to be careful. But that's how you take care of that. And then that's it. We covered the first three problems, which were you got to have a firewall, especially with an always-on connection. You got to have a antivirus protection. Those viruses mostly come in through email. You got to have spyware protection if you are downloading things in any amount. And you need more than one spyware program typically. And what else are we missing?
The final option.
Unplug?
No. Get a Mac.
Get a Mac. That's not the final option. That's the final solution.
It is the best solution. Take your Windows machine and be careful. Don't throw it away. They don't like them in landfills, but you can find ways to recycle it. Just get it out of your house and buy
film,
a Mac.
Film yourself angrily throwing it out the window and get a good close-up of it landing, and then send it into America's Funniest Home Videos and see how you do.
That's right.
Then with the $10,000 you win, you could buy a Mac because they're too expensive.
We should check prices during the next break. You'd be astonished at some of the things. Well, I don't want to sound, by the way, this is non-commercial. Absolutely, I'm not a paid endorser.
I'm definitely not paying them.
The folks at Apple don't even know my name except as the owner of 3G4s.
But they have a lot of data on you, don't they?
No, they don't.
I thought I could trick them.
They're good guys, too.
Yeah, yeah. So they're in the white hats, and Microsoft's in the black hats. I see.
That's exactly right. And they have the coolest products.
Well, they do have cool products, and I suppose we're paying extra for those.
And they have an operating system that at its heart is Unix. It doesn't work in no way like Windows does. The way that applications load don't resemble the way applications load in Windows. So With that said, I'd hate to bring the wrath of the Microsoft machine down on me, because you never can tell what satellites they've commandeered and what kind of surveillance they're performing right now.
So you don't think they've ever heard any criticism before?
Apparently they're deaf to it.
Well, they're sensitive to it, let's put it that way. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of reasons why, because in our last segment on Microsoft, we're going to talk about their operating system a little bit in more detail.